Let's get Bill Curry, who's always a breath of sunshine on this program. Coach Curry, I miss talking to you. How you been?
I've been fine. I miss you, too. Thanks a lot. Not many people would say that.
You're a good man. Well, that's what I've heard, Coach, but I miss you.
It's great to be back with you, Tony.
Hey, Coach, this is your 20th Tennessee game as either a coach or an opponent and all those good things. I would imagine this is going to be very special for you being back in Neyland Stadium on Saturday.
Neyland Stadium is a special place to me. I had some sports writers here after practice today asking me about the top five stadiums that I've played in, and I talked about five of them, with Notre Dame, LSU, et cetera, and the guy said, well, isn't Neyland Stadium in there? I said, well, Neyland Stadium is sort of in a league by itself. I played my first away game as a college freshman. It was then called Shields-Watkins Stadium. That's how old I am. This was 1960. And we played against the Tennessee freshmen, and it was a very big deal to us because our coach, Bobby Dodd, was a Tennessee Volunteer All-American. So from that moment until this, yes, I've been up there a lot of times in every conceivable role, and it's just a special. I really enjoy going there. We hadn't always been successful. Sometimes we have, but Tennessee is a special place to us.
And for you, this opportunity and what you've done, Coach, at Georgia State, going back and starting this deal, how special will it be for you to come into the stadium with this team that you currently have, you know, knowing that the sands are rolling through the hourglass on your career?
Well, the sands have run almost down, and that's fine. I don't think about that. When I come to practice, I'm just as enthusiastic and flying around the practice field as I've been before. And when I walk into a place like Neyland Stadium, I'm just praying that our little guys can be competitive against a great program, one of the dominant programs in America. And I take them to these places, not just for the money. Yeah, of course that's part of it. But I want them to experience what it's like to go up against a program like this and to learn to compete that way. So we hope we get a little better each time we go into a big venue, and so that's what I'll be thinking about Saturday.
Birthing this program, Coach, in this era, would this have been easier or harder to do 25 years ago, what you guys are attempting to do there at State?
Wow, good question. I don't know the answer to that. I think certainly from the financial standpoint, it would have been easier 25 years ago, because as we started Georgia State, it was 2008, we hit the worst economy since the Great Depression, and that's been our biggest challenge. It has really caused us to have to scale back some things we wanted to do, but we have moved ahead. We do have a team. We do have a schedule, and I think in an amazing happenstance, we're going to move up to FBS next year. That came as a surprise, I think, to all of us. We thought that might be 6 or 8 years down the road. So a lot of good things happening, but a lot of struggle with finding funding, because you can't use state funds in the state of Georgia to build athletic facilities, so you have to raise them.
Which I would imagine, I mean, with everything that's going on in that state, when you guys first tried to do this, when this was first presented to you, was the thought, where are we going to get the funds? Because let's face it, we've been talking on this show today about how across the Southeastern Conference, this past weekend, one game sold out, and that was Mississippi State, and they play in sort of a smaller stadium. Folks these days, even at the top of that game, are having trouble selling tickets. And money's tighter than it's ever been. How much of a challenge has that been for you, Coach, to find the funds?
Huge. It's been a huge challenge. And yet there have been people that be extremely generous that have helped us, and that's the only reason we're still here. But also our students voted before we came here to increase the student athletic fee. So that was a generous thing for the students to do because they wanted to have a football team. So that allows us to pay for scholarships and room and board and tuition. It does not allow us to build facilities. We have to do that through other means, and so it has been an awful lot of work, to answer your question.
I can't imagine the headache of getting that going. Do you think long-term, I mean, as you look at it, is there going to be a place for you guys in that Atlanta sports marketplace, which is pretty crowded as it is? Has the reception been so far about what you were expecting, better or worse?
It's been better than expected. I think if we had played better, we still need to play football like it ought to be played, and we're just working at that every day, just scratching and pushing our guys to try to become a better football team. When Georgia State gets good, there is a place in the Atlanta market because Georgia State has 32,000 students. We have 100,000 alumni that live in the Atlanta area. There are more CEOs and CFOs from Georgia State in Fortune 500 companies than from Tech and Georgia combined. So there's a powerful force here that will back this program, but I think Georgia State's got to play better in order to utilize all our resources. So that's what we're working at. We're trying to build our football team and be a better football team so that we can actually compete in that arena, because that's what you have to do. If you're in the Southeast and you play football, you better play it well.
Coach, when you're talking about the power of the program, number of CEOs, all that stuff, the number of students, my question becomes, what's taken so long
for Georgia State to begin football?
Yeah. Sure.
There was a president, a wonderful man, a good friend of mine, Dr. Noah Langdale, who was, 30 or 40 years, and ironically, he was a Phi Beta Kappa All-American tackle from the University of Alabama. He was highly sophisticated, maybe the greatest speaker I've ever heard, just incredibly polished and a wonderful man. And he said, every chance he got, we will never have football at Georgia State. He's no longer living, and so after Dr. Langdale died, the administration changed its tune, and Dr. Patton, who was the next president, decided that he first took the same stance and then decided later that it was worth a shot. So he did a feasibility study and then had his people mobilized, got the thing cranked up, and then he retired and was replaced by Dr. Mark Becker, who's a very strong advocate for our program. So that's sort of a chain of leaders and the progression in thought here.
You know what's interesting, and you can speak to this because you were at Alabama, and you're not afraid to voice your opinion, and you'll call an ace a spade, and it's one thing I've always loved about you. You're not a coach-speak person. At Alabama, for years, the folks at UAB have aspired to play big-time Division I football, and there have been times where they've literally had, well, they had a deal a couple years ago where they wanted to hire a certain coach, and Alabama blocked them there, and that's documented. So my question to you is, are there any political forces behind the scenes that you guys have to overcome in order to reach the kind of level that you want to there with State? Is there a similar environment there?
I don't think so. I think it's a different scenario, and I know just a little bit about the UAB Tuscaloosa relationship, but not enough to comment, not enough to have an opinion. Over here, I think the powers that be, the Tech and Georgia folks, do not see us as a threat, and therefore have been accommodating and helpful. And I think there's room for all of us. So I hope that's the way it will go as we head on down the road.
Coach, I've got to ask you this obligatory question about the fact that you're getting ready to coach against Vince and Derek Dooley. You've seen Vince, and now you're going to see Derek. Let me ask you something. Do you see similarities between those two guys as you get ready to face Tennessee?
Well, I've got a special affinity for Derek. Vince and Barbara are friends, and we were competitors, and the Dooleys are nice people. We've enjoyed being with them. But our sons played football together at the University of Virginia. They were both walk-ons. Derek was older than Billy Curry, but he was so nice and so accommodating and so helpful to our son that we've always appreciated Derek a great deal. So I don't look at him and try to see if he's like Vince or not. I frankly hadn't thought about it. I don't know.
Coach, I love it. I'm trying to keep you on your toes today. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're doing it.
Thank you.
You're not asking standard questions.
No, well, you know, I just know you're not afraid. You're just not afraid to answer questions. And so I'm going to close with this today. Rather than asking you how your club's going to fare and all that nonsense, I'm going to ask you this. This playoff thing that's getting ready to happen in 2014, is that a good thing for major college football in your mind?
I think the whole emphasis on mega bucks is a bad thing for college football. Now that sounds absurd and self-serving from a guy who's earned his living off that very money. It sounds very hypocritical, I'm sure. But I never dreamed that we would get to the stage where many of the top programs are operating in the red and borrowing money to build more athletic facilities when there literally isn't enough money to pay for the chemistry department's faculty. I mean, I've seen that specific situation at a university at one time, and it is nowhere in the charters of our academic institutions that we are to compete for the entertainment dollar with the NFL and the NBA, but that's what we're doing, and we're also competing in coaches' salaries, and I don't begrudge any of my buddies making a big bucks. They dang sure earn it. And coaches are going to sign for whatever people will pay, but I don't think it's the best use of resources for our educational institutions to be, in essence, majoring in building billion-dollar facilities and competing in the billion-dollar leagues. I don't know what to do about it. I'm not sure what would be the right thing to do, but it just doesn't feel right.
Really, really great talking with you, Coach, and I heartily echo what you're saying, and I don't know if there's any going back. I think these empty seats that we're starting to see in these stadiums at these games are getting people's attention. I don't know if there's a way to put the toothpaste back in the tube, though, once it's out, and I sure wish there was. But, Coach, I'd love to wish you luck this weekend when you come to Neyland Stadium. I do that, I'm going to get scalped and flogged, and I don't want that stuff to happen.
Yeah, don't do that. I know you're a good guy, so you don't have to get yourself in trouble. We're excited about it, and we're looking forward to coming up there, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Coach Curry. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure.
Bill Curry, one more time. Thoughtful guy. Always appreciated him.